Take your Bibles while they're passing out the handout. It's just a list for you, so you'll have all these things together. We're going to look at all the places where these are found, but tonight we're going to do a study dealing with spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts. Now, there's four of these gifts that we really won't touch at all, and they are the sign gifts, and you'll see them on your sheet. We'll mention them as a part of the message, but we're going to look at primarily more at the gifts that particularly that you would have. Now, there are some gifts that are people. You can see that as you scan over your sheet. They're classified as people. They're sign gifts, and then there's just a generic spiritual gift. I mean, they're all spiritual gifts, but they're not really. They're more of, I guess you would say, attributes. They're not individual people, or they're not sign gifts. So we're going to look at the importance of these, and we're going to look at where they're found in the Bible and some significance. Remember, when you're studying your Bible, the context is always, always very important. It's very important where you find what you're looking at in the Bible. Many times, and you know what? You know, many times I think we, especially in the church age, you know, we are, especially in, you know, especially here, Bible Believers Baptist Church, where we have such great Bible teaching. Many times where we have such teaching, you know, we know our doctrines, or we hope we know our doctrines, and we study the doctrines, and a lot of times we'll jump in, say, like the book of Ephesians, because we know Ephesians is doctrinally aimed at the New Testament church. We'll jump in that book, and we'll just jerk a verse out, and we use it. So we jump in there, and we grab a verse, and it will apply that way, but if we're not careful, we can lose something else that God was really trying to teach in that verse by putting it in the context of which it was found. And so we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight, and one of the great doctrines of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verses 12 and 13 is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is a doctrine that is found in verses 12 and 13. But if you just focus on that being the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will lose the emphasis of why that little section is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so we're going to talk about that here tonight. So, once again, it's always very important to remember the context. And so we'll have a word of prayer, then we'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Lord God, we do thank you for the day. Thank you for each and every one that was able to come out tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the little bit of rain today and the cooler weather. But we ask, Lord God, that you give folks safety as they drive in it to and from church tonight. Once again, we do pray that you would continue to give Randy and Brother Welder safety as they're traveling. Lord God, I think at least I know tomorrow, maybe today, I'm not for sure of their actual schedule. But Lord, I do pray that you give them traveling grace to get them here safely. And we do pray also, Lord, that you just bless the things that are said and done here tonight as a part of this service. Lord, may the folks be enlightened and gain some knowledge about some things maybe. Maybe folks be encouraged. Lord God, maybe instructed through your word, whatever the benefits that you have for your people tonight, we do pray that hearts and minds would be attentive to your word. May you be pleased in what is said and done here, and we'll try to give you the praise and the honor and glory for it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now, verse number 1, we're in chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That's the title of the message. Don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Now, and the reason being is, Paul said, he wrote this so that the people at Corinth would not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now, we're not going to deal with it tonight in detail, but just by way of introduction and background, the people at Corinth, the saved, born-again children of God, the church there at Corinth, they had terrible problems when it came to spiritual gifts. In other words, they were taking the gifts and elevating themselves because of their gifts. And that's still going on today. The problem, one of their main problem with gifts was the gift of tongues. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is all about. God lays it out and gives the proper order. And I mean, he gives some things in Acts about tongues too, but he really lays it out there for them. So the church at Corinth had many problems. They were very carnal. They had fornication going on in the church. They had problems when it came to the Lord's Supper. I mean, you know, Paul was just straightening out a lot of things, which is good for us because we learn a lot of doctrine and a lot of spiritual truths by what he taught them. Now, but tonight we're looking at spiritual gifts. Now, concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now, if you're worried about the tongues deal or you have to deal with people on that, notice in 1 Corinthians 12, it's not referred to as unknown tongues. It's diverse kind of tongues, which simply means different. You know, because tongues is language. And you can study all about that in 1 Corinthians 14. But the tongues there were languages. But we're digressing, so just wanted to point that out. Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now here comes the great truth and great spiritual doctrine of, or New Testament doctrine of, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, that is a great spiritual truth. We pull that verse out all the time to show that when a person gets saved, they are baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. That's what baptism John was speaking of when he said Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism that Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4 and 5 speak of when it says there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism. So we know that's that baptism. Now, we jump in there a lot of times and we jerk that out. Nothing wrong with that because it is doctrinally correct. But at the same time, there's a reason that it's put in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to see that hopefully here as a part of our study tonight. So let's continue reading. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it not therefore of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now you got to be careful with that, once again, just to point out. If a member is suffering for sin, that don't mean we got to go out and get in the sin so we can suffer with him, right? I mean, Paul's already established that in chapter 5. He said, the guy that won't get rid of the sin, get him out of the church. So you gotta take that in the context of what is written in the book of 1 Corinthians. But when somebody suffers, if, you know, we can suffer with them, we should. And when one member honors or is joy, we should joy with them. And those things, rejoice, that's the word it uses. Now, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? The answer to that is no, they don't all. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So I wanted to read the chapter because there's a lot in the chapter, and I wanted to kind of familiarize your mind with it, because we'll pick and choose some verses out of it and go through it and maybe even reference others that we don't fully point out. Now, the first thing you need to see about spiritual gifts, Paul said, don't be ignorant, so let's try not to be ignorant about this thing. What are the spiritual gifts? Well, there is some of them found here. And that's why I gave you a handout, because there are some that are found in Romans, and there are some that are found in Ephesians. So, real quick, we'll try not to spend very much time with this, since you have them before you, but real quick, let's read the Bible, and let's see what are the spiritual gifts. Now, since we are in 1 Corinthians, we'll refresh those. Now, at the top of your page, there's a list under 1 Corinthians, and you can see it there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse number 4. There are diversities of gifts. That tells us there's different gifts, right? All right. Then we look down there in verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So wisdom is a spiritual gift. You say, wait a minute, I thought you could gain wisdom. Sure you can. Knowledge, you know, by the fear of the Lord is knowledge. By the fear of the Lord is wisdom, right? But there, have you ever just met somebody that just, they got wisdom that's like a little bit beyond what you've got wisdom? I mean, you know, you study the same passage and boy, that's a spiritual gift. It's wisdom. And it's listed here in the passage. It is one of the gifts. And God gives it. Certain people can have more wisdom in the scriptures than others. You say, why? Because it is a gift of God. I believe He'll increase your learning, He'll increase your knowledge, He'll increase your wisdom. But at the same time, it is a spiritual gift. It comes more natural to some. To another, the word of knowledge. You ever met somebody that just can memorize everything? I mean, boy, they can look at it one time and they got it memorized. And you're like, man, I can't remember that to save my life. You know, sometimes that's a spiritual gift. God gives people that, you know. Dr. Ruckman was one of those people. He had a phenomenal memory and a phenomenal mind when it came to writing books and subjects and reading. He read somewhere in the neighborhood of, he said somewhere around, you know, so many hundreds of words a minute. He read a book a day since he was like 11 years old, you know. Now that's a talent, but it's also a gift that God gave him. And I think you'll see at the end, it did profit. Now, notice here. So we have the spirit of wisdom. We have the spirit of, or the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge. Look at verse 9. To another, faith. Now, I know that faith is given to every man in regards to salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, right? God gives every man enough faith to be saved. But there are some people, they've got some faith. Now, you can exercise your faith. You can grow your faith, just like the Word of God, right? You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The more you put the Word of God into practice, the more your faith will grow. But there are some people, it's a gift for them. They naturally have faith. All right. To another, gifts of healing. Now, that's one of the sign gifts, and we're not dealing with that tonight. That's one of those four sign gifts, which are not really in effect anymore for us in the New Testament, but that's another study, but they're listed there. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Well, that's a good gift. Discerning of spirits. I mean, there are some people that God gives that gift to, and I mean, they can look at something and they can tell you real quick, that ain't right. They have that. And then there's some Christians, I mean, boy, you got to spell it out for them all along the way. You know, you say, well, what's the difference? Well, God gives gifts. There's some people that can discern character and discern things in people. That's a spiritual gift. It's noted here. God gives it. Now, be real careful because, you know, some people say, oh, I got that gift. And they start judging. Everybody comes in. Oh, that person ain't spiritual. That person's spiritual. That person ain't spiritual. You know, Proverbs says, he that boasteth himself of a false gift is like a wind with no rain. And so you better be real careful about these gifts, thinking you may have one or you may not. You better make for sure God shows you which gift you have and which gift you may not have. Or which gift, you know, you want and why you want it. You know, Paul does say at the end, covet earnestly the best gifts. And so you got to be careful with your motive for why you want those things. Now, notice here, and to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. And all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. So, the first ones take us down through verse 9, that passage we just read. Now, if you jump over to verse number 28 in 12, you'll see some more gifts. You'll see the people show up, and then two more gifts. You'll see, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, notice once again, tongues is last in both lists. If you put them in order, if you look in chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, then you look at, 28, tongues is always last. And Paul, I think, does that on purpose because one of the problems with the Corinthian church was they were all caught up in speaking in tongues. Just like a particular denomination that we have before us today. You're not spiritual if you don't speak in tongues. Or you haven't fully received the Holy Ghost if you don't speak in tongues. And really and truly, they don't even fully know what tongues is. But God put it last there in the list. And notice he said first, secondarily. Now, there's a couple of gifts within there. You know, it's easy, the people gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers. But then notice miracles was mentioned once again. And then the gifts of healings. That's one of the miracles. But then notice helps. Well, that's a good gift. You can do a lot with that gift. I mean, and there are some people that, boy, they are just naturally helpful. I mean, it is just, I mean, God gives it to them. That's a great gift. I mean, they have the ability to help, and then they have the desire to help. Some people have the ability and just don't have the desire. But that's one of the gifts there, a gift of helps. And that is very, very important. Then also you have a gift of government. You say, what would that be? That's a politician, right? No. Government means they are some people that are way better leaders than others. There are going to be some people in the church that are natural leaders. And they're going to get put in a position of leadership. Why? Because God's given them a gift of leadership. Government, heads of things. And you know what? You say, oh, well, I don't have that gift. Don't worry about it. But see, a lot of times that goes to people's head. And people really have problem with that gift. But the Corinthian church had these problems, and that's why we're looking at this in where it is. Now, so these are some of the gifts, all right? Now, let's look at a couple other passages. Let's go over to the book of... Well, we're right in the middle, so let's go backwards first. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 12. We're going to read through those. I know they're on your sheet, but I like to show you where they're at in the Bible, and you can see them and have them at the same time. Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse number 6. Now, once again, well, actually, you know what? Let's look back to number 3 because we get a context here that's important. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Now, notice how that comes up with the gifts again. And that's what was happening over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we see both times we find gifts, we got problems with people elevating themselves because of the gifts. All right? So, see, you got to keep, if we just jumped in there and grabbed that context, I mean, grabbed that verse out, we miss the context of where it is and what it's doing. All right? But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and are all members, have not the same office. Once again, we see an illustration to the body of Christ. Wasn't that found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? All right, very much so. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. All right, so there's one of the gifts, prophecy. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. So if you have the gift of ministry, God says, wait on your ministering. Because ministering, part of ministering is waiting on people. That's part of ministry. Now, we kind of have a different view of ministry because of the way worldly Christianity is put on. We think of ministry, oh, that means preaching and teaching. Well, yes, that's a part of ministry. But you know what? A lot of ministry is dealing with people. And people forget about that aspect of it. And, you know, I mean, that's the, you know, when you think about it, the man's called a pastor. Why? Because he leads the flock. I mean, the biggest majority of his time is to, what's the first and foremost priority of any pastor? Feed the flock. That's what it is. You know, that's, you know, feed the flock with oversight, like it says in 1 Peter. Or, you know, not for filthy lucre, all those things. But notice, so ministering has a lot of different aspects of it, but here it teaches us waiting on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, own teacheth. So teaching is a gift, according to this. All right. And, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Now, you say, what is exhortation? That's, lifting people up, encouraging people, being, you know, exhorting people. I'll tell you, I'm not for sure exactly which gifts I have. There's a couple that I, feel fairly confident that I have, or at least God seems to be giving me those gifts. But there's a lot of them that I can fully say with 100% surety, I do not have the gift of exhortation. It's just not in me. My wife says, you know, she likes to call me a bubble burster. You know, and I enjoy that. You know, you give me an idea, I'm going to tell you why it won't work. I'm not an exhorter, you know, and that's fine, you know. Why? Because not everybody has all the gifts. But you know, some people are. Some people are natural exhorters, natural encouragers. You know, but you say, oh, well, how can you preach and not be an encourager? Well, you know, the gospel is 2/3 negative. You ever think about that? You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's only 2/3. That's 2/3 negative. Root out, pull down, destroy, build up, plant. You know, over there in the prophets, that's 2/3 negative. You see, you know, I'm on the right track. I'm way more negative than I am positive. You know, the goal should be to be balanced. Well, that's probably true. But if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of negative. I don't like, you know, I don't ultra positive stuff. You know, well, we're not going to get on positive thinking, but we know where that came from. First person in the Bible to question the Bible used the word yea, which means yes. Yea, hath God said. Yes, hath God said. First positive thinker was Satan. I mean, think about it. What will positive thinking do for you? Will it get you saved? No, negative thinking will get you saved. Right? You know, you got to think. I mean, you know, positive thinking. You know, will it put money in your wallet? Boy, I wish I had a wallet. I wish I had money. No. Negative thinking. Oh, I got to work to get money. That's negative. Yeah, that'll put money in my wallet. I mean, that, you know, I'm running rabbits here, but you know, but there it is. I don't have the gift of exhortation. Now, is there anything else in there? Oh, yes, there's some more gifts. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth. Hey, giving is a gift. And he said, oh, shouldn't everybody give? Sure. But there's some people that are great at it. There's some people, you know, I mean, I don't know, I want to say it was J.C. Penney, I'm not for sure, but it was somebody like that. You know, he couldn't go to the mission field because of his wife's health, and he said, okay, I'll just switch it around. I'll keep 10, give God 90. Say, wow, what would your budget look like at 90-10? I know what mine looked like, just, you know. But I mean, you say, what? You know, that man had the gift of giving. Say, look what it, yeah, I mean, I know what it got him, but, you know, but I mean, still, that's huge. Some people have that gift. It is a gift. Let him do it with, now, if he's going to do it, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, ruling is a gift. Remember governments? He that ruleth with diligence. So, you know what? If you're not a diligent person, you'll never rule. It's just by default, right? All right, he that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Do you realize that showing mercy is a gift? Say, well, shouldn't that be a command? Well, yeah, but I mean, it's also a gift. So is giving is a command. But it's also a gift. Now, are you starting to realize, I mean, I don't know, maybe some of you never actually went through the list and looked at all and identified all the gifts. Now you say, well, can I have these gifts? Sure. Not all of them. I mean, I don't think anybody here is going to get the gift of healing. If you do, come talk to me because I got some problems I need fixed. But I don't think that's going to happen in the age which we live in because of some things scripturally. We show you that, you know, working of miracles, I don't think you're going to get that gift. That's a sign gift, and the sign gifts were for a different purpose. But notice here, there are a lot of other gifts that we're talking. You say, why did Paul write? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Remember, what did Paul say? He said, don't be ignorant about the gifts. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but if I ask the question, I want you to answer it in your heart. How many of you could tell me with at least, you know, I'm not saying absolute, you know, but at least 80 to 90% sure you think you know what one of your two of your gifts are? So, man, I didn't even know there were these gifts until I saw them tonight. All right, well, that's the first step in not being ignorant, is learning, right? But, I mean, do you know what they are? You say, well, no, how do I learn? Well, you're going to have to get with God, and God will show you these things. You know, sometimes pastors can help you with that because, you know, it's easy to see certain people are gifted in certain areas. So certain people are, it's easy to see people that have the gift of teaching. You know, because, they make good teachers. You know, and they have that gift. And, it's easy to see the person that's got a gift in giving. Not because he's got a lot of money. Remember, it's not about the amount. Jesus said she cast in all her living. It was only two mites. So it's not about, so-and-so's got thousands upon thousands of dollars, so they must have the gift of giving. Not necessarily. Because you have no idea the ratio of what they give versus what they keep. Just like somebody that works minimum wage job and barely gets by, you have no idea what the ratio of what they give versus what they don't give. But you see, that's a gift. So there's a lot of gifts, and so we make ourselves aware of these gifts, then we can work on, okay, which ones do I have? Now, apparently it is possible to get these gifts, maybe even when you don't have them. Why? Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, let's look at some. What are the spiritual gifts? Well, we've been through that, right? And we've identified and we laid them out. We even gave you a handout. Now, second thing we want to look at tonight, what are some key things concerning these gifts? Now we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look specifically at what Paul said about these gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all right? First one, everybody gets one. Some of you might be thinking, well, poor pitiful me, I know I'm not going to get one. Or I didn't get any. Well, I know so-and-so, they've got 18 and I got one or I got none. You know, everybody gets one. So how do you know? Well, look at verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to what? Every man. Now, I realize this is dealing with saved people here, but it's given to every man to profit withal. So everybody's going to get one. You say, I got a gift and I didn't even know it? Maybe so. But that's why Paul gave this stuff. He wants you to figure out what it is because there's a purpose for you having it. And that's what we're looking at tonight. So first step is everybody's got one. Now, like I said, Proverbs 25:14, you want to be very careful about thinking you got one that you don't. So you don't just say, I think I'm good at this, so that means I got the gift of this. You may not have that gift than the man in the moon. You got to be careful, because he that boasteth himself of a false gift is like a wind and cloud with no rain. And you know what that is? You farmers, you know what that is. That's called a huge disappointment. When a huge thunderhead comes over and nothing happens. But it's also a drought. And it's also disparaging, and it's also damaging for the crop, right? It damages, think about it. When you start applying what Proverbs says, a cloud with no rain, it's kind of like one time, I love the Indians, they have a way of putting things, and most of you know I'm friends with some Navajo Indians, and out there on the reservation, Arizona, New Mexico, those things, and Brother Calvin always told the story. He said, an Indian church, and they were having a big revival, and they had pumped up the preacher. They had pumped him up and pumped, the visiting preacher that was coming, and they were like, "Whoa, this guy is the greatest preacher we have ever heard. He's just gonna blow your doors off." They pumped him up for weeks and weeks and weeks. And so the big revival came, and he came, and they, everybody hooped and hollered and carried on, thought it was great. And this one old Indian, he sat in the back all week long, and you know how Indians sat, real stoic. And arms crossed, and he sat there for a long time, and he sat there, and then finally at the end of the week, they're like, "Man, what did you think about that preacher?" He said, "Big thunder, no rain." That's a lot of people. That's a man that boasts himself of a false gift. Because 9 times out of 10, if you have to thunder about your gift, you ain't got it in the first place. It's just like a man that tells you, he has to tell you how spiritual he is, he ain't spiritual. Man tells you how he runs his house, he don't run his house, he's got to tell you. Man that tells you he's in charge, he ain't in charge. Man that tells you he's a great athlete, if he's got to tell you how bad he is on the basketball court, he ain't that bad on the basketball court. When you are something, you don't have to thunder about it. And that's what that Indian was saying, and you better be careful. So, it's one thing to know the gifts, and it's one thing to realize, hey, I got a gift, but I got to figure out what it is. And got to be careful about boasting of a false gift. All right, now, so everybody's got one, all right? Number two, you got to get this in your head. not everybody gets the same gift. Because this is the problem that comes up. What did we see? You know what? I forgot to read you Ephesians, didn't I? Boy, I totally skipped over that one. It's the same context in there. You know, we'll read that in a minute. I'll save it for the end. But the context in Romans and the context in 1 Corinthians was, Romans was, think not highly of yourself, right? For we are all members in the same body. And then it runs some gifts. Here we find a list of gifts given, and then we run the context on how we're all one in the same body, right? And how the ear ain't no better than the eye, and the eye ain't no better than the mouth, and the arm ain't no better than the leg, and the leg ain't no... You understand what I'm saying? All right, now, so not everyone gets the same gift. Let's look at this. Look in verse number 4 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are diversities of gifts. What does that mean? There's different gifts, right? I mean, it's just simple. There's different gifts. We've looked at them. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Right? So one person may get the gift of helps and one person may get the gift of government. That don't make anybody any different. Why? Same Holy Spirit gave it to you. There are diversities of gifts. One person may be an apostle. One person may be a prophet. One person may be a teacher. One person may be a pastor. Same Spirit, same gifts. I mean, diversity of gifts, same Spirit. All right, so we see that there, right? Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. Now, when you think of administrations, what do you think of? Business, right? Or, like, if you go to college, there's a business office, right? Or office of administrations. You know, you go to the church, some churches call their office, you know, oh, administrations. Do you know there are now pastors, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, you know, there are now pastors, they're called administrative pastors. They don't necessarily preach, and they don't do, they may not teach or preach in the church, but their specialty is they run offices in church. You say, oh, that's just a secretary. Well, I mean, they've given it another title. But a secretary, that's administrative work. But, you know, there's also other things that it falls under. Counseling, those kind of things, they do that. So, other things there. But administration, so, there are differences of administrations. What is that? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Notice it says, but the same Lord. And then it says, there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh in all. Now, notice, in those three statements, you find the Trinity. In verse 4, it's the same what? Spirit. In verse 5, it's the same what? Lord. In verse 6, it's the same God. That's the Trinity. Why? Because that's complete. And when God needs to complete this thing, that's why everybody don't have the same gift. Why? Because it wouldn't be complete. Everything is necessary. That's why, now look at this thing. Back up to verse 4. There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. Just because you do one thing and somebody else does another, that makes you no more spiritual or no less spiritual than anybody in the church. Really and truly, if you want to talk about being spiritual, that's in whether you follow God's commands. But you know what? That just unnerves me when people get to thinking spiritually of themselves. Like, well, I'm better than so-and-so because I don't miss a service out of the week. I'm more spiritual. No, you're not. You don't know why that person missed. Well, I brought 10 people to church. They never brought anybody to church. Yeah, they may witness to 5,000 people a week that just don't ever come to this church. See, you don't know what people do. You don't know where they do it, and you don't know why they do it in the first place. So this deal of getting, I'm more spiritual than this person because of what I say, that's a bunch of junk. And that's what Paul's telling these Corinthians. They're having trouble with this. That's what he said to the Romans. Think not highly of yourself. Why? Because God has different administrations. Or the Lord, there's different administrations. He needs this person doing what they're suited to do. He needs this person doing what they're suited to do. And you know what? If they're pleasing God, what else does it matter? Because our primary purpose is to please Him. That's what we were created for in Romans chapter 4. That's why there's different gifts. So not everybody gets the same gift. Not everybody has the same gift. Or everybody, you know. Now, there's different administrations. And then we even see in verse 5, there's different administrations. Where's my notes? There they are. Alright, you know, you may have a different administration. You may have a different position in the church. Doesn't make you better. You know, we got what, I think on our list, the way we operate our church here, we got 3 deacons, right? Oh, well, I wish I was a deacon. That'd make me, you know, put up here on, you know, on a pedestal. No. That's a different gift. You know, it's a man is gifted in some areas. The church makes him a deacon. You know, you look at their qualifications for an elder and the qualifications for a deacon. There's some reasons he's put there. You know, but that doesn't make him any more spiritual. You say, why? You say, all I've got is, you know, I'm just a teacher. There is no big I's and little U's. Because God, it's the same, it's different administrations, but the same what? Same Lord. If a deacon does his job, he's pleasing the Lord. If a teacher does her job or his job, they're pleasing the Lord. And if you're pleasing the Lord, I don't care whether you please me. You shouldn't care whether you please anybody else in the church either. As long as you're pleasing the Lord. Now you gotta be real careful with that, because a lot of times you get to thinking, well, I'm pleasing God, and everybody knows you ain't pleasing nobody. But, you know, you once again, you got to deal honestly with the Lord on these things between you and Him. Because you know and He knows. Alright? Now, so, look at the last one. Your gift may require a different kind of service. What does the one say there in verse 6? And there are diversities of operations. If everybody, and I, you know, Brother Lawrence probably testified to this. He's a missionary, been a missionary for how many years? 41. Now, if everybody in America was missionaries, who would support him? See what I mean? There's different operations. You know, if everybody was the pastor, well, we'd have to build a bigger platform, but there'd be nobody out here. Right? You know, if everybody was a teacher, you'd have nobody in Sunday school. See, there's different operations. If everybody was this, or if everybody was that, you know? I mean, everybody can't be helps, or there's nobody to help. You know? I mean, now, you know, you say, boy, I wish everybody could have that gift of giving. Yeah, I bet all the missionaries and all the pastors wish everybody had that gift of giving. But, you know, but nonetheless, your job may be different. Your gift may require different service. But you know what? It's the same, what? God that you're serving. Diversities of gifts, same Spirit. Differences of administration, same Lord. Because Jesus is the head, right? When you think of administration, you think somebody's going to be the head, right? Notice how the Lord was put with that one. Why? Because Jesus is the head, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, the man's over the woman. The woman's under the man. The man's under Christ, and Christ is under God. But notice how that is structured. That's so neat in that passage. Different gifts, same Spirit. Different administrations, same Lord. Different operations, same God. Why? Because God's got a lot of things that need done. And He uses different people with different gifts to get it done. And that's what Paul is teaching them here. All right, now, next thing we see on our list. All right, we're just looking at some key things. So everyone gets one. Not everyone gets the same gift. And then you need to see, okay, once you get with God, and once you can identify maybe a gift or maybe two, whatever you have, or, you know, maybe you're coveting and Lord, you're praying for one of the gifts and God allows you to have it. You know, what is the purpose of having these gifts? All right, to do the work. I've heard a lot of things. To do the work, to profit, to do all these things. Well, specifically, we're told. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? To profit with all. Profit what? Body of Christ. Say why? Because where are the gifts? They're in the body of Christ. You ever wonder why this excerpt on the body and being baptized in the body is placed where it is? Because Paul is trying to get the Corinthians to see, not only, look, gifts don't make you spiritual, because the arm can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. The hand can't say to the eye, I have no need of you. Your body needs to be complete, right? Now, your feet and your hand, well, sometimes you might use them for similar things, but I mean, let's think real, you know, the ear and the eye cannot do the same thing, right? I mean, blind person tell you real quick, they wish their ears could see. A deaf person tell you real quick, they wish their eyes could hear. But that's not their purpose, right? So you see, but each one gives a different profit. Think about how your body profits you. I mean, let me ask you something. If you think about your organs, the heart and the kidneys both deal with blood, but they got totally different functions. You know? How would you like it if the kidneys tried to pump and the heart tried to filter? You have serious problems, right? You see? Even though they're very similar, they're still different. But you know what? The point is, they both have a specific purpose. That's why you got to be careful. You say, well, I do this and nobody else in the church does it. Big deal. They might be doing something that is just as profitable. You can't judge based on what you do and what they do and what you do or they don't do and all that nonsense. Because notice here, now when it says in verse number, where are we at here? In verse number 7, it's given to profit with all. Now, with that thought in our minds, jump over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We neglected the few gifts that are found there, and we've seen them in the other passages except for one. But we'll go over there and look at them now, and we'll look at why those were given. In Ephesians chapter 4, kind of worked out better that way. I guess the Lord did that, caused me to forget it. In Ephesians chapter 4, the context is Jesus Christ ascending up to heaven, leading captivity captive. That's what is found. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. See that gift mentioned? Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. I can guarantee you, I'm no evangelist. I can tell you that one, that's one of the ones that, you know, I'm pretty sure of too there. Alright, gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now I think it's important that there is no comma or semicolon in between pastors and teachers. You can say, oh, I don't believe that stuff's inspired in the Bible. I believe it is. Why? Because I believe a pastor's supposed to teach. I believe that's a big part of his ministry. I think that's why it's put together there. But now I know that teaching is also another gift because it's mentioned separate in the other passages. But what's the purpose of these gifts? What's the purpose of these gifts mentioned here in verse 11? Well, if you look in verse 12, you'll see them. For the what? Perfecting of the saints. That's the body, right? For the work of the ministry. Now, that's the only one out of the three that can be applied outside the body. But it still is its main, it still has a big chunk within the body. And then you look at the other one for the edifying of the body of Christ. See the purpose? They're for the body. That's why in Romans chapter 12, you find the body in the context of those gifts. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you find this great explanation of how we're baptized into the body and how the body works together and it needs all parts, right? Because the gifts are given to profit with all. For the whole thing to work and the whole thing to profit and be profitable unto God, everybody has to do their part. And if we're not willing to do our part, when we get hung up on stuff, well, I want that gift and I don't have it, be happy with what God gave you. Stop trying to compete with the person that's got a gift you don't got. Or stop worrying about the person that ain't doing what you're doing because he ain't got that gift. Because then something's lacking, right? If your hand is trying to do what your foot's doing, you're going to have some problems along through the day, right? If your foot decided, I want to be a hand, that's going to be a little aggravating when you sit down to eat, right? Your hip's going to have some problems, you know? I mean, trying to bend that, you know, especially once you get older. You know, it might work for kids. I mean, babies can put their foot in their mouth, but, you know, it might, I don't know, it might work with them. But other than that, you know, you see, you got to do what you're supposed to do. So the purpose of the gift is the prophet. So if you sat here tonight, if you said, I got a real good idea what my gift is, let me ask you something. Are you making any profit? Are you using that gift to profit the body of Christ? Because that's its purpose. That's why God gave it. I think there's a lot of people that do sit in churches all across our country, and they have a gift, and they don't know it. But I think there's a lot of people that know they have a gift, and they still refuse to use it. And when that happens, it's like a part of the body that doesn't work. You know, like most of you know, I have a kidney disease. My kidneys, they only function at about 38-40%, depending on what time they read them. You know, I guess what day of the week it is they read them. It floats right in there. All right, you know what? You say, but you're not on dialysis. No, not yet, because they're still functioning enough to keep my body clean. But you know a problem I am having? By the number, I'm anemic. And I asked my doctor, I said, why am I anemic? He said, well, actually, you're good for your condition. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, most people that have the kidney function number where you do, they're way more anemic than you are. I said, really? He said, yeah, the kidneys produce a hormone that tells your body to produce red blood cells. I didn't know that. But you see how it's funny? See how when one, wherever they're at, somewhere in there, when one body member is a little dysfunctionate, it has an effect all throughout the body. And when we don't use the gift God gave us, the body doesn't profit. It doesn't profit with all. Now, the last thing we can see in regards to these gifts is, now, Paul does say something very important, because once again, the Corinthians were all hung up on this. Now, we jump over in chapter 12, look at verse number 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. I flipped back and you didn't, so I hear pages, I'll wait a minute. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're down to verse 29. Are all apostles? Well, that's an easy answer, right? Anybody in here tonight an apostle? Anybody physically seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ? That was one of the requirements, wasn't it? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Now, it's easier for me and you to be prophets than back then. Why? Because we got the completed revelation of God. And we can tell somebody Jesus is coming by the word of God, and guess what? I just prophesied. It's a little different, you know, for us than it was for them. They didn't have the completed word of God. All right, but are all prophets? No. I've lost my place. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Boy, there's where a charismatic will have a fit. No. But by the way, notice it's last. Do all interpret? That's still connected to the tongues. It's last. But covet earnestly the best gifts. But look at that last statement. So covet earnestly the best gift. Nothing wrong with coveting a gift. God may or may not give it to you. But look at that last statement. But I show unto you what? A more excellent way. What is that excellent way? The famous chapter on charity. Now we jump on that chapter. Why? To teach you got to have charity. And it is a great chapter for that. But it is extremely important. When you read these epistles, they are extremely important. And the primary purpose is how they fit together and the context. And when you put this in its context, it's huge. Why? Because it gives you the revelation of the body and how the body works. And what the gifts are given for, to profit the body. But then notice the excellent way is, look in 13:1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. Once again, shows you it's a language. Well, I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I've always wondered, what's a tinkling cymbal? Got a good idea. I can picture it in my mind and he picture what it sounds like. But that's an odd thing. But you know what? It's something that don't mean nothing. It's not got a good sound. You know, a cymbal resonates, right? But when it tinkles, I don't think that resonates. Tinkling cymbal. That's what it says. I'm just going with the Bible. All right, look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. The gift is not what makes you anything. And that's what Paul has been hammering. It's how you use the gift. You know, I mean, it's like preachers. If they preach because they are full of themselves and pride about their preaching, it's pointless, right? Just like singers, if they get up and sing, and they sing because, well, I'm the best voice in the church. Oh, I don't want to sing over here because my voice, I got to save my voice for, you know, I'm the good voice. You know, I'm the A team, B team, you know, then we got a B team, then we got a C team, you know, I'm the A team. That's what Paul's saying. I'm nothing. Notice what it says here. I mean, you know, if you say, I mean, if you go out on the street and preach the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, just so you can say, I went out on the street and nobody else did, well, what have you accomplished? You know, if it's so you can brag about it, what have you accomplished? You say, oh, I memorized 18 chapters in the Bible. Okay, great. You know, that's knowledge. That's, you know, that's good. You can memorize that stuff. But what are you doing with it? Are you using it to profit? Or is it just a sounding board for how great you are? You see what I mean? That's the profiting. And Paul's saying that here. It's not the gift. It's how you use it and what you use it with. And that's what makes it profitable. And that's what he's saying in 13. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know, that's an amazing thought when you put that charity, all those attributes of charity, and you put them in connection with the use of a spiritual gift. See, I mean, it's good to look at 1 Corinthians 13 and teach charity out of that. I mean, charity is all those things. But when you put it into the application of that's how you apply your gift, because Paul said, I show you a more excellent way, and tie the two things together, you really got something. That's how you use your gift. It's got to be done in charity. What is charity? Love in action. It's more than just love. That's why the new Bibles, they switch it out to love, and they don't even got a clue what love is. But charity is love in action. In other words, a man said, you can give without loving. I do it every April to the IRS. I don't love the IRS nor the government, not one bit. I mean, I love our country, but the government, no, that's a different story. But I give to them, right? Why? Because I have to. It's the law. And I don't want them to come and repossess everything I have and throw me in jail. It's the law. Plus, God's Word says to do it anyway. A bunch of Christians today going to jail because they don't want to pay their taxes, say it's not constitutional. Whether it's constitutional or not, it is the law, and you obey the law. But that's beside the point. You know, you think about it like this. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That's charity. It's different. And you see, charity is the way in which you use the gift. Notice it said, vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. See, that right there takes the pride element out of the gifts, which is not what they were for in the beginning. But it's very important that you see, Paul put these two things together. So, what do we have? Key things concerning spiritual gifts. Everyone gets one. Not everyone gets the same gift. Purpose of the gifts is to profit the whole body. And if you got a gift, if you don't use it in charity, it's pointless. You're not being profitable. And that's what these things are about. So, it's great to study the individual aspects that we can pull out of the Scripture, but sometimes we just need to stop and say, why did God put these verses together? Why did Paul put this illustration right in the middle of spiritual gifts and the body and love or charity? All those things. We got to ask ourselves that. Now, you say, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Well, get with God. Find it out. Well, I'd like to have this gift. Well, covet earnestly the best gift. God may give it to you. But you know what? The thing is, don't neglect the one you got for one you don't. Don't overlook the one you have for what you don't have. Because I can almost guarantee you, what does the Bible say? To whom much is given, what? Much is required. If you ain't using a gift God's already give you, why do you think He'd give you another one? See what I mean? So, let's not be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. Amen.